Just going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Father God, like we were just singing. You are here. You're already here. You're always here, but you're already here, Father God. And Lord, I just lift up Claire to you. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that she opens her mouth to speak, that your Holy Spirit will fill it. Father God, I pray that you will open our hearts to receive your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay now? Okay. Can you hear me? Is it okay? Okay. Okay, so we recently celebrated Valentine's Day. And during this time you see a lot of candy, and one candy in particular is the candy love hearts, and they have different words written on them, like true love and for keeps, all yours. And it really got me thinking about my own heart and what is written on my heart. And I began to question, is it the things of God or is it the things of this world? So the title of my sermon today is What is Written on Your Heart? If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 2:19. And it says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. So, picture this. Mary has just given birth to the Son of God. I imagine there's probably a lot going on around her. Angels making announcements, curious shepherds visiting, wise men traveling from afar to come and worship the Son of God. And the news soon spreads and excitement fills the air regarding this beautiful miracle from heaven. I believe it's what everyone was talking about. And then the Bible goes on to say that Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. So I began to think about what Mary could have been treasuring up in her heart and meditating on. And I believe she recalls every moment leading up to this very moment. The announcement from the angel Gabriel that she's highly favored by God and that she was to conceive and give birth to the Son of God despite being a virgin. The fact that Joseph stayed with her knowing full well that this baby was not his. And even, I believe, that she was thinking about her relative Elizabeth, who was old and unable to conceive, yet was to give birth to a child, and that baby leapt in Elizabeth's belly at Mary's greeting. I believe it's all these moments that she was meditating on, and then the very moment that she's in now, the miraculous birth of Jesus. She is holding him in her arms. She is taking in every feature. She is studying him. She is breathing him in. She is loving him. I imagine that Mary is so in awe of him. And Mary ponders every moment that God has blessed her with. These are her God-filled moments. She has stored them up. She has treasured them. She recalls them, and she meditates them. And they are securely written on her heart. So what is written on your heart? Is it the things of God, or is it the things of this world? Yes, we're Christians, but we can still be consumed with the things of this world. Anxiety, regret. We can often look back on our lives and wish we would have done things differently, wish that we would have done some, even yesterday, we can look back on yesterday and wish we would have done something differently. Hatred, addiction, fear. We live in a world that's full of fear. Just turn on the news and there's fear everywhere. It's scary. Gossip. This is something God taught me. If you're speaking about someone and they're not present and it's something you wouldn't say to their face, then that's gossip. It's that simple. Disappointment. Yes, life can be disappointing. Depression. Lust. Are we going after the things of God or are we going after the things that are not of him, the impure things? Anger. Bitterness. Pride. Jealousy. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. This is something that I want to talk about because a few years ago, my heart was consumed with unforgiveness. I was hurt by someone, and I felt that a huge injustice had been done, and I asked God to bring justice. This person was quite a big part of my life, and I saw this person quite regularly, But my prayer was that God would remove this person from my life. I mean, what a horrible prayer. I was consumed so much by unforgiveness that my prayers were, God, please take this person away from my life so I don't have to see them anymore. But what is funny is that God made this person an even bigger part of my life. This person began to be everywhere, and I would see this person all the time. They would smile at me, they would hug me, they would do nice things for me, they would tell me they love me, and on the outside I was smiling back, but on the inside I was screaming, liar, you're a liar, I want everyone to know, please God, bring justice and tell everyone what this person has done to me. That didn't happen. But what did happen is one day I was driving home from work, and I was in the car, and I had my praise music on, and I was praising God, I was singing, and I was thanking him, and all of a sudden, it was like this huge wave just came over me and said, you are consumed with unforgiveness, and until you let go, there's nothing I can do with you. It is hindering you from the things I want to do in your life. You need to let go, and you need to forgive. So, that's when I realized that instead of meditating on God, I was meditating on unforgiveness. I was consumed with unforgiveness so much so that I didn't realize what it was doing to me and to my heart. And so it's a huge wake-up call for me. I knew I needed to forgive, and I'm not going to lie to you and say that it happened overnight, because it didn't. It was a long process. It hurt. It was painful. There were days when I had to give it to God 100 times a day. When those feelings threatened to creep in, the feelings of hatred or whatever it was threatened to creep in, I gave it to God every single time. And like I said, sometimes it was 100 times a day I had to give it to him. And it was painful. But through prayer and perseverance, I learned the power of forgiveness. I learned the power of forgiveness. It meant letting go of my own fleshly desires and grabbing hold of God's desire. It meant meditating on him and the things of him. And eventually, my heart became so overwhelmed by him that I was no longer overwhelmed by my unforgiveness. And God, the funny thing is, God is so good, because he even revealed to me the reasons why he loved this person. And I began to see the goodness in that person. And, you know, I just think that's amazing that you can go, that's the power of prayer and God. You can go from having this unforgiveness in your heart and hatred to then seeing why God loves this person, seeing the good in somebody. And I just think that's pretty amazing. And even recently, God brought to my attention that my heart has been consumed with anxiety. I mean, I think a lot of us have experienced anxiety. And so much so that my focus wasn't on God, but it was on my circumstances. And for some reason, I forgot about the hope that is inside of me, the hope that's inside all of us sitting here today. Yes, we struggle. Yes, we are going to go. Yes, we struggle. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from that. We still are going to go through life struggles. But what makes us different is the hope that we have and the truth that we know, that Jesus Christ is our Savior and we are loved by him. And this is a hope that cannot be found in the world. It is only found in him. It's an eternal hope. And we have to hold on to it through every single struggle. So one night I was laying in bed, and yet again anxiety was threatening to come in and overwhelm me. And God told me, you have two choices. You can let this anxiety come in and overwhelm you, or you can cry out to me and ask me to fill you with my peace. So, of course, I chose the latter. It sounds simple, but it's what we need to do. So right there in my bed, I cried out to God. I asked him for his peace, and I asked him to steady my heart. And that's exactly what he did. I think all too often we forget that God is right there waiting for us when we go through those things, when we're suffering with anxiety or worry, when those things threaten to come in and steal our peace, and they're so deeply rooted, or we think they're so deeply rooted in our heart that we just accept that they're there to stay, or that we're unable to let go of them. But that's a lie. That's a lie. We are to call out to God in those times and to ask him to meet us where we are, and he will steady our hearts. He will steady our hearts. He will bring restoration, and he will protect our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Amen. Are you protecting your heart? Are you allowing God to protect your heart? Or are you allowing the things of this world to consume your heart? If your heart is full of sin and negativity, it's only going to breed sin and negativity. And eventually, that is what is going to flow out of you. But if your heart is full of God, you will not only be consumed by him, but you will overflow with him, and you will give birth to good fruit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, gentleness, self-control. I remember driving to work, I think it was December time, it was pretty cold, and I was stuck in traffic, so it was moving quite slowly. And the road was lined with loads of trees, and I was just driving past all these trees. And every tree was bare. There was no leaves, there was no fruit, nothing on them. They were just bare branches, except one. There was one tree in the middle of all these trees, and this tree had leaves, and it had what looked like berries. And I remember thinking it was really strange that amongst all these trees that are all bare, no leaves, there's one tree that's flourishing. And then God quickly reminded me, this is a reflection of us as Christians. We should look different. We should be different. We should be flourishing and bearing fruit despite what is going on around us. So how do we protect our hearts? In Psalm 139:22-23, the psalmist writes, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This needs to be our prayer every day. I remember when I began praying this prayer, again, it hurt because God is bringing those things that are not of him to the forefront, and he's ridding you of them. It's a painful process, but it's what needs to be done. We must allow God to empty us of ourselves, of anything that is not of him. I don't think God wants to squeeze in amongst all the rubbish in our hearts. He doesn't want to squeeze through the anxiety. He doesn't want to squeeze through the unforgiveness. He doesn't want to push through and squeeze through the hatred or the jealousy, the fear. No, God wants to dwell in our entire vacant hearts so that we are consumed by him and only him. So that he is written on every piece of our heart. Even as I was writing this message, I was being tested on this very thing. So, my husband's car broke down, and we prayed that it wouldn't need a new engine, but unfortunately, it did need a new engine. And that was going to cost an excess of £2,000. And maybe this wouldn't have been such a blow, but our oil tank recently needed to be replaced in December, and that cost us £2,000, which we are still paying off. And, you know, I began thinking, it's our finances that seem to so easily still my focus and my heart. I'm going to digress a little bit, but I really feel to say this. A few years ago, I didn't tithe. I tithed what I felt I could give, what I could afford to give, but I didn't truly tithe. And one morning, God woke me up and he said, "You're robbing me." He straight up said, "You're robbing me." I mean, I love it. It's hard when God speaks to us. Sometimes he's like really gentle with us, and other times he just says it like it is. He's like, "You're robbing me," or "You're full of unforgiveness," you know, but it's in those moments that we know that we have something in our heart that is not meant to be there, that God wants to rid us of, and he wants to teach us. So I knew that I had to start tithing, and it was a struggle. It hurt. It still does sometimes, you know. But God wants us to be committed to him and obedient to him, regardless of how it makes us feel. So, yes, I had to start tithing. But anyway, going back to Joseph's car and everything else, our finances, and I was determined not to let anything get me down. And I had just finished writing this sermon, and I was thanking God, and, you know, because he had helped me to write this, I couldn't have done it on my own. And all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh, it's so cold in this house." And I went around, and I touched the radiators, and they were stone cold. And I tried to get it to work, and I couldn't. I called my dad, had him come over. He was over for a couple of hours trying to fix the heat. It wouldn't come back on, so it was freezing cold in the house. All I kept thinking was, "God, please don't allow this to be another expense, because we can't afford it." And so quickly, see how quickly our mind and our heart is taken from God and shifted to our circumstances. And God came in and he reminded me, he said to me, "Claire, what were you just writing about? What is written on your heart? Is it the oil tank? Is it Joseph's car? Is it the heating, the finances, or is it me? Is the condition of your heart pleasing to God? Are your thoughts pleasing to God? Your deepest, most intimate thoughts, are they pleasing to God? Is what is written on your heart pleasing to God? Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So how can we ensure that the meditation of our heart is pleasing to God? First, we make sure that we're protecting our hearts. We make sure that we're allowing God to protect our hearts. And we make sure that we ask God to rid us, to search us, and to rid us of anything that's not of him, no matter how painful it is. We want to become more like him. And then, I believe we need to meditate on God's word. Psalm 1:2 says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Spend time in the word. Set aside time each day to do a devotional. Spending time in the word, spending time with God, is only going to bring you closer to him. I remember I used to struggle to read my Bible. I used to struggle to understand it and to retain the information that I was reading. And I told someone once that I was having this issue, and she said to me, "You know, God, as long as you're spending time in his word and with him, he will enable you to remember the things that you need to remember, that he wants you to remember. He will bring them back to your mind." So every day, even now, before I open my Bible, I ask God to give me clarity, and I ask him to help me remember. We need to meditate on his word. We need to be spending time in his word. We need to meditate on his goodness. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." The goodness of God is evident in his creation and in our lives. I only have to go for a walk and I experience nature, and I'm reminded of his infinite goodness. Precious moments with family, things, the little things that make you smile, are all evidence of God's goodness. Having air to breathe is evidence of God's goodness. Being saved is evidence of God's goodness. The list is endless. I could stand here and go on. And even though we are not worthy of his goodness, it's still accessible to us. It's still available to us. We are to meditate on his goodness. Meditate on those moments that he gives us. Meditate on his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations." I often look back on my life and I recall where God has brought me from and what he's brought me through. And I can look back to my darkest moments and I can see how God never left me. Like, at the time, I didn't see it, but when I look back now, it's undeniable. He was always with me. He walked by my side. Sometimes he carried me, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes he dragged me. But whatever the mode of transport, he was always there, and he always brought me through. Remember, your testimonies are powerful reminders of the faithfulness of God. We need to meditate on his faithfulness. Remember where he's brought you from and what he's brought you through. Store those moments in your heart and treasure them, recall them. Meditate on the hope that is found in him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future." There are times when I become so overwhelmed with life that I forget about the hope that is found in God. Just like when I had that anxiety, I forgot about the hope. When you feel like you're consumed by life struggles, and you will feel that way, hold on to his hope. Hold on to the hope that is treasured up in your heart. Hold on to the hope that Jesus has given you. The hope that this is not it. This is not it. There is so much more. And one day we will stand face to face with our Savior in a place where there is no pain and there is no suffering. This is the hope that should see us through every single struggle. It's a hope that can only be found in him. Meditate on the hope that is found in him. And lastly, meditate on his love. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God sent his Son Jesus to die for us, to bridge the gap so that we can be in relationship with him. He made a way, despite us not deserving it. This is a crazy kind of love. A love so deep that Jesus was willing to suffer and die so that we would live with him forever in eternity. He wants us. He died for us. He wants you. He wants me. He wants us. That is a crazy kind of love. Meditate on his love. Let it consume you. Let it overwhelm you. Turn to Luke 1:46 through 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So what was written on Mary's heart? God's goodness, his faithfulness, his hope, his love. These are the things that Mary sang about. These are the things that Mary treasured up in her heart. She meditated on the things of God. She was consumed by God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary gave birth to the very thing of God, Jesus Christ. Just like Mary, when we treasure up the things of God, when we meditate on the things of God, when we are consumed with the things of God, we will give birth to the things of God. I love this quote. My dear Jesus, my Savior, is so deeply written in my heart that I feel confident that if my heart were to be cut to pieces, the name of Jesus would be found written on every piece. Amen. Imagine being so consumed by Jesus that if your heart were to be cut into pieces, the name Jesus would be found written on every piece. This should be our heart's desire. This is what we should be striving for. So today, make a declaration that the name Jesus will be written on your heart, on every single piece. Let the name of Jesus be so deeply engraved on and in your heart that nothing and no one can overshadow it or erase it, not even the struggles of this life. Treasure the moments with him, your God-filled moments, every moment. Store them up. Meditate on them day and night so that the only thing that will flow into and out of your heart will be Jesus. Let your heart be a reflection of him with his name written on every single piece.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for that word. You know, it would be really easy to just move on with the next thing, but I think God wants to do something, and I just pray, if you're struggling with unforgiveness or anxiety or fear, any of those things, and I'm just going to invite you to come, and Claire's going to pray for you, because God wants to clear your heart of all of that stuff. He wants a free, flowing move of his Spirit in your life and in what you do. So if that's you in any way, I'm just going to ask you to come real quickly. We don't have to. We're family, right? Aren't we family, right?